Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the third Sunday in Advent, I call it Repent Ye. And it's by the late Archbishop John T. Cahone, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He was a very jolly fellow, very nice guy. One of the most important purposes of Advent is to remind us about the second coming of Christ. The Nicene Creed sums up what the scriptures say about why Jesus is going to return. He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. When Jesus was about 30, and it was time for him to come onto the stage of public history, it was St. John the Baptist who got the people ready for him. The collect for the third Sunday in Advent says that the bishops, the priests, and the deacons of the church are supposed to get people ready for a second coming by doing the same thing John did the first time. What John the Baptist did was tell people to repent. One of my favorite stories, which I run the risk of telling once too often, concerns the time I visited a classmate of mine from college who was in the hospital. I hadn't had any contact with him since graduation, but I saw his name on the hospital census, so I thought I'd drop in. He wasn't in any particular danger, so we got to talking, and finally he said to me, "I don't envy you your job." If he had meant, it must be some sort of a drag to have to make idle chit-chat with yuppie unbelievers who are dressed in hospital gowns. I might have agreed. Instead, he said, "I'm sure it's very hard to spend all your time telling people how to be good." The Holy Ghost spoke right up, and he used my mouth to reply. "I spend very little time telling people how to be good. My job is to tell people what to do about the fact that they are not good." That conversation shows us two different views of what the judgment of Christ is all about. It is natural to think that the way Jesus is going to judge you is to show you the big scorecard he has been keeping of all the good things and all the bad things you have done during your whole life. People with a favorable ratio of good and bad will go to heaven. People with not enough good to outweigh the bad will go to hell. That is a simple and perfectly rational way to look at it. And if that is the way judgment is going to be, then it is very important to rack up the good deeds. And it is perfectly reasonable to think that the ordained ministry should get people ready for judgment by being goodness coaches, personal trainers in the art of doing good and avoiding bad. But if we use John the Baptist as our model, we will see that that view of the judgment is wrong. The first thing John said was not, "Be good," but instead, "Repent." To repent is to admit that you are a sinner, say you are sorry, and ask for God's forgiveness and for his grace to try to do better. John told people that if they really repented, their behavior would change. Following him, we see that the good works God is interested in are the ones that result from repenting. The big secret about the Last Judgment, which we see looming ahead of us in the future, is that Jesus has made his judgment already. The verdict is already in. We don't have to wait until the judge calls the court to order to find out how the trial is going to come out. The charge is sin, which is disobeying God's law in any way, and the verdict is guilty as charged. St. Paul puts it this way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everybody who has ever lived, even, heaven forbid, me. The proper response to God, to Christ's judgment is not, I've been pretty good, but I'm sorry that I've not been good, and you died to forgive me. We ask God to accept us and love us, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. The prayer book's communion service gives us a weekly opportunity, if we had weekly mass, to act this out. Every celebration of Holy Communion is a practice session for Judgment Day. We hear God's law, and we know we haven't kept it. We hear God's word, and we know we haven't believed it or acted upon it. We hear the statement of belief God has given us, and we know we haven't let it interfere too much with what we thought already. After all that, I turn around and face you, and I invite people to come to communion. Notice that I don't say, everybody who has obeyed the law and kept the word and lived by the creed is welcome. The people who are welcome are the ones who repent of their sins and want the strength to try to do better in the future. The message about Christ's judgment is good news for people who know what the judgment is all about. Jesus is not coming to judge us so he can send us all to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And that is why he died on the cross. He judges us because it is only when we face up to what we really are that he can save us and take us to heaven. Jesus can't save the person who thinks he is good. He can only save the person who knows he isn't good and is sorry about it. So if you want to be saved and you want to go to heaven, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.